Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What's up, Atlanta? That's right. It is time for another Saturday edition of The Other Side of the Glass right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hanging out with you for the next couple hours, taking you right up until 8 o'clock. We have so much to get into today. Obviously going to talk about the Dawgs, going to talk about the Falcons, going to talk about the college football scoreboard. But Bo, as I introduce my sports radio compadre, first of all, how are you? Second of all, these Braves, man, they're up and down right now. It's a little bit of a roller coaster.
Well, I'm probably going to have security come knock on my door in a minute because I'm yelling at my TV. I don't understand how bad officiating is in college football. You have a 6'4" quarterback who his entire body falls over into the end zone and they have to review it to decide if it's a touchdown or not. It's just incredible how bad the officials are, and that's not where I wanted to start today. For the Braves, Turtle, this is what this team has been for the last month and a half, or maybe even 2 months, maybe since the, right around the All-Star break, a little over. They'll win 6 or 7 games in a row, turn around and drop 2 or 3 in a row, and then they'll go back hot again. It's been very weird that they'll go on these stretches of like 7-3 every time, and it's always made up of 3 losses followed by 6 or 7 wins. It's really weird.
Yeah, and last night was one of those nights you could almost see it coming. Odorizzi on the mound, he was just so bad. Offense didn't have any life. But then you turn around today, we're bottom 5 and we got 6-0. Good guys. So, like you said, it's basically just an up and down roller coaster of emotions. It's going to come down probably to the final game of the season, definitely the final series of the season between the Mets. As we sit now, 2.5 games back, but with the win today and hopefully the Mets lose, we could right the ship. But, Bo, some more important news came down, though. We're going to be without one of our horses for the rest of the regular season, at least it looks like.
Yeah, it's kind of a tough pill to swallow because you were really – you know, they had moved this rotation around to where it would be a point where, you know, maybe Strider would get to pitch in this Mets series coming up next week. And then we find out that they pushed him back a little bit more because of this oblique strain. Now it's been over a week since he's pitched, or right at a week, I should say. And it's, you know, you need him. You needed him for the stretch if you were going to try to win this division. Now you've got to rely on Morton to be the guy that he has been in his career in late season and postseason type atmospheres. It's one of those deals where you're glad it happened now, though, because maybe you can have him going forward in the postseason, which at this point, if the season was in today, it would be a wild card situation in a best of 3.
We got a little bit of an injury bug situation going on now, Bo. I wouldn't say like hit the panic button or anything like that, but Acuna's not in the lineup again. Now you put Strider on the IL. We had the Soroka news. I mean, it's not an ideal time for these things to be happening, I guess is the way to put it. And then, of course, Ozzie, we know we're not going to see again, but I'm not too worried about that with the way that Vaughn Grissom, you know, he had a couple big hits today. And I just. there's a lack of comfort right now, I guess is the best way to describe it, where you want to feel like you have everything locked in going into that last series of the season, right? Rotation set, lineup set, have as many guys clicking as possible. You got Olsen in a slump. I just feel like with the Braves right now, Bo, even though everything's fine, it's nowhere near as good as it could be.
It makes you feel like it's falling apart at the end when you need it the most, but I think that's one way to look at it, and that honestly, it's not a wrong way to look at it. I would lie to you guys right now if I didn't look at Olsen not starting and the reading the news about that, and then seeing Strider go on the IL, and you know, after last night, and actually three games in a row really where you had no offense, and one of them, you just got just mashed, and I didn't. I looked there and I said, man, this just feels like it's falling apart. But you can think that way, and I don't blame you if you do, as long as you don't stay overly negative. But you could also look at it like this. We're getting guys – we got a guy, one of your most important players in the slump right now. He's started to come out of it the last few days. He's had some hits, so it's slowly coming around. You know, Strider's injury, you caught it now. Maybe you can get him healthy. So maybe it's all happening right there, and then you get a collective group back, and in 2 weeks you're ready to roll for the postseason. You can look at it that way as well, but it's very disconcerting to say the least.
Well, Bo, I'm going to say this right now, and I truly believe this. You're not winning another World Series without Spencer Strider. I don't think you are. I don't trust the depth of the rotation without him, frankly. Right now, he's my number three, but depending on what happens, if he had another start or two and it was more magic of six innings and three hits and 10 strikeouts, he might have been my number two. I don't think.
Look, you won a World Series without Spencer Strider and without Charlie Morton. You essentially won the World Series last year with Max Fried.
Right, but one of the key cogs was Ian Anderson, who's nowhere to be found.
He only had one World Series start last year, if I'm not mistaken.
But he was great in the postseason, though.
Yeah, he's been good in the postseason. But you've still got Morton. You won. You got Wright, who you didn't have last year. So I'm not going to sit here and wave the flag, Chicken Little flag. All right. The good thing is Strider probably would be pitching today if it was a postseason start, and you still got to remember that he should be healthy. A lot of this is precautionary just to shut him down and give him a few days. The problem with that is that, you know, is there going to be a rust factor after not pitching in almost 3 weeks?
Well, and given the fact that he's so young and he doesn't have any experience in the postseason, I would think there would be a little bit. But he's the type of guy, we've seen it all year, Bo, that he's got the moxie, he's got the swag that I'm not sure if that kind of stuff would bother him. I just think they absolutely need him. So, hey, as you just said, if this is what they need to do, fine. But between that and Acuna and Olsen and Ozzy and Soroka, it's just been a little dicey the last, you know, week and a half. And then you drop a couple ones to the Phillies, and it's not. But again, you're 2.5 back. The sky is not falling. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is there's been a lot of storms to weather over the past couple weeks. They've done fine, but when you're looking at the postseason, you need to have your horses ready to go.
Look, you literally swept the Phillies last weekend. They came in here hot. You swept them. You lose one game Thursday night. Then I hear everybody talking about how hot the Phillies are. Are you kidding me? You've beaten them 3 out of the last 5, and you got a chance today to close it out and beat them 4 out of 6. So even with all these storms you've weathered, you're still winning ball games.
Right.
You're still like 7-3 in your last 10 games. Good God, we just overreact to everything in this city. I'm not saying you are, Chris, but what you're giving us is a pulse of what people seem to have. This is such a Chicken Little fan base. It drives me nuts.
But I don't think it's fair to say Chicken Little because of the names that are involved. This isn't Robbie Grossman dealing with a hamstring injury. This is Ronald Acuna out of the lineup for three games. This is your second or third best starter being shut down for the rest of the regular season. These aren't precautionary moves. These aren't, you know, mop-up bullpen guys that we just are saying, nitpicking, saying, hey, you know, it would be nice to have the team as a whole going into the postseason. These are the best players on your team that you're talking about. It's important that they're ready to go.
Yeah, I hear all of that, and they're valid points. But here's the problem. We went to Game 7 of an NLCS with the eventual World Series champions with literally one and a half starters. You have three right now going into the postseason. Yes, Strider makes you instantly better if you have him as an arm at some capacity. But again, it's not the be-all, end-all. You have won in the postseason without Spencer Strider ever even being on the roster. So, I don't know why we make everything out to be the end of the world constantly. Now, I do think it's a big deal, his health. I think you're a much stronger team with him on the field. I 100% agree. I'm just not ready to say the sky is falling if we don't have him for the regular season. I mean, you're still locked into the postseason. You still have three quality starters you can run out there with, and you can get him at some point in time back.
All right, let's see what you guys are thinking. It is The Other Side of the Glass with Chris Thomas and Bo Morgan. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 404-741-0929. That is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, also the number to call in the show. Are you okay with where the Braves are right now, or are you worried about everything that's happened over the past couple weeks? Let us know, 404-741-0929. Bo, before we catch a break, just wanted to spend a couple minutes also touching on the UGA game because, let's be honest, they won, and they won handily, and the game was never really in doubt, or did you ever even get worried? But, Bo, that was not a pretty game. Bunch of turnovers. I think they had four. Ladd McConkey had a rough first half. It just wasn't what anyone was expecting.
Yeah, it's a really good way to put it. It was sloppy out of a team that you don't normally see them play sloppy. That's not the typical Kirby coach team that we've gotten used to the last few years. I actually think if I was a Georgia fan, I'd be happy after it because that is all the fuel that a Kirby Smart type of coach needs to really hamper down on the, you know, the little things that teams sometimes lose sight of when they are big favorites coming off of a big, you know, big win against South Carolina. Whether you think South Carolina is good or not, it was a road win. You dominated. You come at home and you have a little bit of a letdown. You still won by 17. You were sloppy. They're not gonna, they know that. And the coaches, this is Kirby, needs everything he wanted because now he can really hammer home and kind of get these guys' sights back on the prize. So I wouldn't, you're right, but I don't think Georgia fans are worrying about anything. And if they are, I would tell them not to.
This is going to be a hands-on-hips type of week of practice for the Dogs, I would think, Bo. These guys are going to be running. They're going to be running extra plays. Their practices are going to be longer. They're going to be more intense. Kirby's going to be screaming and yelling. You guys think you earned it. You didn't earn anything. It's going to be one of those types of weeks in Athens because, frankly, it just wasn't impressive against a team you should have beaten by 30, 40 points. I mean, they had a couple nice players that were making some plays, but for the talent discrepancy alone, for the way that game went down, it made you just go, ooh, a little bit. Like, you know, you see guys missing. Stetson missed a couple wide-open receivers near the end zone. He had a pick. I mean, it just wasn't what we've seen the first three games of the season. So, again, there's nothing to worry about. I still think they're going to win out. I don't see anybody that's done anything in the SEC or otherwise that should say that they're still not the number one team in the country. But it's not a stumbling block because they won. But it feels like this was going to be one of those seasons where there was not even a team that came within a mile of them. And Kent State, of all teams, Bo, was just a little meh.
Well, look, yeah, remember one thing. Is they still weren't within a mile. I know that it was the score was within, what, 10 at one point. But, I mean, the game was never in doubt. And nor would it ever feel like it was in doubt. I just think that the fact that they saw 22 points put up against a very good defense, that gives you, that's not what you're used to seeing. I mean, they've given up, what, 3 points all year?
Yeah, unfortunately, that average might be over. I think it's over a touchdown now, which is unfortunate.
They happen. It'll be all right. It'll be all right.
It will be all right. All right, coming up next, going to hit some headlines, including it was Hawks Media Day this week. I know football is where we're at right now, but we do want to touch on the Hawks just a bit because he says they're boys now. Do we believe it? Coming up next, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, The Other Side of the Glass, Chris Thomas.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Coming up in 20 minutes, the great Joe Patrick will stop by the program, preview all things Falcons Seahawks. Not saying it's a must win. Obviously, it's not. But it kind of feels like one. And we'll talk to Joe all about that. But first, Bo, we got to get into some headlines right here on the other side of the glass. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I want to start with the NBA. You're saying NBA, it's football season. Well, the Hawks had their media day. And there's some pretty interesting storylines going on with the Hawks right now. But I want to focus on one specifically. We know Coach Nate went out to visit Trey in Oklahoma. He's going to work off the ball a lot more. You know, they're going to attack with the double-headed monster of Murray and Trey now. And that's really cool. But that's not the storyline I want to focus on. Trey talked about addressing the rumors that John Collins might be dealt this offseason. And we also know that there's been a lack of best friendship between the two, shall we say, as much as John Collins went on Dukes and Bell and said so last season. So Steven, producer Steven with us, by the way, doing a great job. He will have his six-pack of questions coming up, as well as a shameless plug next hour that I will force him to make. Let's hear from Trey on the John Collins rumors, and let's react.
I mean, there's been rumors before with John being in there. But, I mean, throughout the whole time, all the rumors were going on, everything. I mean, John kept it professional. John stayed locked in. And as soon as the trade deadline and everything was over with, I mean, y'all saw me and him in the Drew League playing with each other. So, I mean, if people don't want to get the hint, I mean, that was a hint right there, just showing, I mean, what it is. So, I'm proud to call him a brother because he stays professional in times like that. So it was good to see.
So they dap and make up, Bo. What did you read into that?
They're teammates, and they want to win, so they're going to work together. Just because they don't laugh at the same jokes or hang out together after, or, you know, at times have issues. I think we've fallen into this trap in this country for some reason that you have to be best friends with everyone that you work with or that you play with on a team sport. You don't. There are a lot of guys in a lot of locker rooms that don't laugh at the same jokes. But what they do is they go out there and they play together, and they find a way to create chemistry on the court. And that's all that these guys need to do, and that's what they tried to do. That's why they play in the Drew League together. They're working at this because they know they need each other. And that's what you want. But, I mean, they don't have to be best friends. Why do they have to be singing Kumbaya every time they walk in and out of the locker room?
No, they don't. It seems like you took that a different way than I did. I took that as, hey, we went to the Drew League this offseason. He was hyping him up in terms of his professionalism and the type of guy that he is. I almost think he's saying, like, this is the start of a new era. Like, we're closer than we've ever been before.
No, I think he's just proving the point that they are cool as teammates and they get along. But what I'm telling you is my take on it is everyone wants to make it deeper than what it is. And I just don't feel that way. I think the bottom line is that they're teammates. They get along on the court. They understand that they rely on each other and they need each other. And they're trying to put that to bed. But not once did they – you know, he never said, yeah, you know, John came and stayed out in Oklahoma with me, or, you know, we were out at the Drew League and we went out and bonded off the court. He just said we played together. I think he made a clear – distinction that what their relationship is. It's professional, and that's okay.
Well, either way, it'll be good for the Hawks because, you know, if that is true and they're clicking on the court, that's, you're right, that is ultimately the only thing that matters. I'm just curious if he was sort of hinting at, you know, like, hey, there may have been, you know, not icy feelings, just sort of nothing there at all, and we're working on building our chemistry. All right.
And look, hey,
no,
Chris,
yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Hopefully they have found some common ground off the court. I guess my mindset is I don't expect you to love everyone that you work with. As long as there's respect.
You don't love everyone you work with? No, come on, Bo. You're a fluffy bunny. Come on, bro.
I never said I don't love. I just said that I don't expect everyone else to love everyone. I love everyone I work with. I'm the nicest person around. Just ask Steven.
You know, I took that comment, Bo, to say that you don't love me and you don't love working with me, even though I'm very pleasant.
I do love you, Steven. I do love you. You're actually one of you're all my favorites. As the assistant brand manager, I can't pick favorites. I love you all equally.
Now, you've picked a couple out of the flock that you've deemed the ugly ducklings of the up-and-comers here at 92.9 The Game, but we'll save that conversation maybe for off-air.
Don't talk about yourself that way, Turtle.
All right, back to the Braves, because I want to hear from Jake Odorizzi, because this might be the last time we ever hear from Jake Odorizzi, so let's give him a send-off. He says, hey, I sucked and I knew it.
It's tough. It's a long season, and some points there's crappiness, and you just have to, you know, put your head down, get through it. And, you know, today it's me putting my head down, getting through it. Yeah, it sucks. Take accountability for it, and it's time to make an adjustment, you know, next 5 days and be better. That's what it boils down to.
Yeah. You think he gets another start? I'm leaning towards no.
Yeah, I think he could. Just not sure if it'll be a meaningful start. Because I do believe that they might start him in that very last series of the year, depending on what the pennant race situation is.
You think they could start him against the Mets?
That's not the last series of the year. The last series of the year is against the Nationals, I believe.
Oh, that's right. You're right. You're right. It feels like it's the last series of the season. Yeah, I guess I could say. Yeah, I mean, if everything's
Marlins, yeah,
if everything's said and done, and you know, it's decided either way. If it's just a spot start, that doesn't mean anything, I guess so. But I want to see more Bryce Elder. That's the point I'm getting to. He's been great so far. I don't know if he's ready for postseason action, but I wouldn't mind seeing more of him.
Yeah, well, I've loved what Bryce Elder's given you this season. I think he's been underrated. I know he had some starts early that, you know, he didn't have a lot of control and he was walking a lot of guys, but since he's came back, he's done very well. But the fact of the matter is, if the division is decided going into, as Steven told me in my ear, the Marlins that last weekend, why would you not start Odorizzi? It doesn't, if the division is decided, why start a guy that you're going to need in the postseason when you could throw an Odorizzi out there and it doesn't matter? And I think that's where you could see an Odorizzi. You might see him and Elder both. But you might have to see him again. You just can't say you won't.
Let's hear from a guy that we definitely are going to see, and that's Dansby Swanson. He says, hey, look, we all understand what's going on here. We need to win.
Everyone understands what's at stake, and like I said, at times, you know, you can almost overemphasize something. You can overanalyze it. You can do things to get in your own way to not let your natural ability shine. You know, you want something so bad instead of just kind of letting it come to you. So, I think it is something that we've shown that we can do and will do. So it's just a matter of time.
Was he secretly giving a pep talk to Matt Olson in that answer right there? That's what it sounded like.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not a big reader into what people say. I kind of take people at about what they're saying. But, I mean, maybe. Look, Matt Olson is played better at the plate the last few games. I know he didn't have a great night last night. I think Olson, you know, is one of those guys that's just close, really close. And hopefully he snaps up out of it. I mean, it'd be nice to see him snap out of it, I don't know, next weekend, I think, or next end of the week?
Yeah, I mean, I think, what is there, 12 games left, 11 games left, something like that? So he has enough time to get ready before the postseason starts, and especially depending on where they finish, especially if they win the division, if they win the division. Listen, I like Dansby's approach there. Calm, cool, and collected as always, and that's all you can really do, right? You can't play tomorrow's game today, to use a cliche there. So this is all they can do. It looks like they're going to bounce back tonight. We'll see how the rest of the game goes. But again, the total message and what we talked about in the first segment is, yes, things aren't going exactly the way that we would like them to right now, but everything's fine, Bo.
Well, I mean. I only in Atlanta, man. I mean, you know, guys, baseball season's long, guys slump. The Strider stuff is concerning, but all in all, it sounds like, you know, this rest will be fine. He'll do him some good. You'll get him back for the postseason. But, you know, only in Atlanta you can win 94 games and people will be scared of their own shadows as a fan base.
Well, someone that can't be afraid of their own shadow tomorrow is Arthur Smith. He was talking about facing the Seattle defense, which I know you highlighted on Dukes and Bell has been good inside the 20, but between the 20s, they're very vulnerable. Here's what Coach had to say about Seattle's defense.
Well, you see the speed and the intention that they try to go and disrupt the football. And I know that's been a big point of emphasis for them, getting the turnovers. But it's a completely different front than the first iteration when Pete got there. And part of that staff, Cus Bradley, Dan Quinn, Jerry Gray, those guys over there early, and they were running so much of that cover three, and they had so much success that you saw a lot of those guys get jobs other places, and that kind of was a trend. Now you've seen them kind of reshape what they're doing, a lot more five down fronts, a little more 3-4 based. Clint Hurt, right? He's a different play caller. You see some of the stuff on the back end that's changed, a little more quarters, and some of the different variations they're playing right there. So it's changed, but you still see Pete's emphasis, the way they attack the football, ball disruption, team speed, all that stuff showing up.
I don't know about you. I expect to see more of what we saw against the Saints than the Rams from this defense, Bo.
Talking about the Falcons defense.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, because Arthur – sorry, it threw me off because Arthur was talking about the Seahawks defense.
Yeah, I'm talking about our defense, though.
I was sitting here prepared. I had something I was going to say, and you kind of threw me off. Yeah, I agree with you, Chris. I think I think they can get to Geno. I saw people talking about Geno on Twitter, which was baffling to me that people think he's more of a runner than he is a passer. It's absolutely false. Geno is a pocket passer. This guy is completing 81% of his passes for the season. The problem with Geno is he hasn't thrown for over 400 yards this season. So what does that tell you, Turtle? It tells you everything is, you know, it's not really opened up. This offense is not opened up, especially when your home run threat only has 71 yards on 11 catches. So I think that they can get after this offensive line, to your point. And I think you can force Geno into making, you know, looking more like Jameis did in that those first three quarters. I agree with you.
Yeah, well, and what Arthur Smith, just to bring it back to the cut, what Arthur Smith, I think, let me know what your interpretation of this was. He was essentially saying, like, hey, this is not the Legion of Boom, and we should be able to have success, and if we don't, it's a problem. That's what I heard in that soundbite.
Yeah, and he even pointed out the fact that they don't even run, they do run more of a base 3-4 when they can. So it's not even the defense is completely a different look in a lot of ways. But I think he was trying to emphasize that they still have the Pete Carroll philosophy. That's the way they play, that aggressive style. And they still want to get after you, even though the formation of the defense in the front and kind of how they run it is going to look more like what we're running than what Dan Quinn and company ran in the early years of Pete Carroll in Seattle. That's what he was really getting at. I think he was just asked about how the defense looked compared to what it looked like when the Legion of Boom was around. So I think that was really what I took away from it, Turtle.
I think we'll be able to move the ball on offense, and I think we'll be able to stop them on defense, Bo, and that usually leads to W's. We shall see tomorrow. And coming up next, we're going to talk to our buddy Joe Patrick, who will be able to give us his insight into all things Falcons and Seahawks. So don't go anywhere. It is the other side of the glass. Chris Thomas and Bo Morgan, Sports Radio 92.9.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And the game. Falcons, Seahawks tomorrow in Seattle, where one Mr. Bo Squid Billy Morgan actually happens to be right now. We'll get into that at the top of the next hour. But right now, we head out to the WadeFord.com hotline and bring in our buddy Joe Patrick to give us all the insight into the game. It is the other side of the glass. Chris Thomas and Bo Morgan. Joe, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, guys. Ever since college football season has started, it's like every Saturday is amazing. So, and prayers up for you, Bo. I'm with you, man, on this one. I've got a Florida spread. So,
well, maybe something that'll make Bo feel a little better, Joe, is what's going on with this Miami game right now. Whoa.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, I'm a proud Middle Tennessee State grad here. So, yeah, heck of a day.
Well, the only thing I want to know is who Miami fans are going to fire after week 4 now, because every, you know, I know a few Miami fans really well, and they fire people. Every time they lose a game, it's fire everyone. So I guess Cristobal's term will be short-lived there.
Yeah, that's always fun to see Miami go into meltdown mode.
All right, the proud MTSU right now going on. Joe, let's get to the Falcons, though. All right. Is this the week that the offense finally puts it all together? I know there's an injury on the offensive line that we'll talk about, but Seattle's defense, far from the Legion of Boom. I know they've been decent in red zone defense, but Marcus Mariota, are those throws just a little crisper? Kyle Pitts maybe gets a few more catches. Is this finally where it happens?
I mean, I think if there's a week where it needs to happen, this is it, right? You know, like I was listening to your guys' conversation in the last segment about this, and it really does feel like this is kind of a must win of, you know, of sorts. And I think we'll probably talk about that a little bit later. But yeah, I mean, I think it is a great opportunity for this Falcons offense to get going. And I think the thing that's been a little bit overlooked about this offense so far this season is that they've actually moved the ball relatively well. And I think that a lot of that is down to Marcus Mariota in combination with how good this offensive line has been, especially in that first game against the Saints. But I think they've moved the ball well, but it's been the turnovers that have really killed them. So if they can stay away from these, you know, Marcus Mariota fumbles or interceptions, then I think they're going to be in good shape in this one.
Joe, they haven't named the actual starter for left guard in place of Elijah Wilkinson, who's out for, due to personal reasons, but it's either Adoga or Colby Gossett. I really expect Colby Gossett to play. He got some playing time last year. He's a guy who kind of talked about in the offseason, he went and kind of redid his body in some ways and kind of changed how he was attacking the offseason. What did you see in the preseason from Gossett that makes you either confident or worried if he is the guy that fills in for Wilkinson at left guard?
No, I'm much more on the confidence side. You never know how these things are going to go, but I definitely am more on the confidence side. And I think it's, by the way, the correct call to go with him over Udoga. I mean, I know Udoga's kind of been in this conversation. I guess technically it could still be him, but I would be pretty shocked. He seems to be more of this team's swing tackle they picked up after the season. And I think that, you know, Arthur Smith has a lot of faith in Gossett. He talked very highly about him throughout the spring. He's a guy who's more, between the two of them, is just more familiar with Arthur Smith's offense at this point. So I think that he's the guy. He's the good, aggressive guard. And I think that especially in the run game is where he's going to help out. I think it's the area of the offensive line play that really was kind of was lackluster to me last week was the lack of push they were getting against that Rams defensive line. I know it's a big challenge against a guy like Aaron Donald, but they did so well against a really good Saints defensive line in week one. So I hope that Colby Gossett can be one of those guys who helps them reestablish that dominant ground game.
On the other side of the ball, Joe, I mean, it's Geno Smith, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, and then them boys, right? I mean, they don't really have a ton of familiar names out there. This shouldn't be a situation where we're looking at 38-35, right?
I don't think so. I mean, it's kind of crazy when you just run through those names. You know, the amount of weapons that the Seahawks have on that offense, and they're all tied or kind of, you know, bound a little bit by the play of Geno Smith and whether he's going to give you, you know, be able to distribute the ball to those players at a you know, efficient enough rate for them to make a difference in the game. And so I think what Geno Smith's play is where it really comes down to. And honestly, this team has not scored many points. I mean, like, they haven't scored a point with their offense in the last six quarters of football. It's only the first two quarters of the season, which they've scored points against the Broncos on that Monday night game. So, you know, I think that this Falcons defense has a great chance to really kind of put a stranglehold on them through Geno Smith and really just try to take advantage and, you know, make things happen. That's the good thing that I think we saw in that Rams game, especially with it was kind of a chaotic end there, but we saw this team creating their own turnovers and obviously the block punt dominating on special teams as well. So, again, you just hope to see all the good things that you saw from those first two games, granted in like separate areas, combine all those, and I think you're going to be in good shape.
Joe, one of the names we didn't mention was Noah Fant, who hasn't done much this season, but last week we did see Tyler Higbee, the Rams tight end, early in that game. I think he got somewhere around 7 to 9 catches in that game overall. Are you worried that maybe the Seahawks kind of get some of that and try to figure out? Because Michael Walker has been good at times, and then at times he's looked out of position. He's whiffed.
Yep.
And he's probably the guy that would draw that assignment. Are you worried about Noah Fant maybe want to have a big day? Because we know Geno is not pushing the ball down the field currently in this offense.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great thing to point to. And Noah Fant is one of those guys when you've got guys like Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf in this offense. Noah Fant's a guy who is easy to get overlooked, not just by us in the media, not even by fans, but I think honestly sometimes by, you know, the coaches that are scheming up against the Seahawks. You've got so much to try to take care of Noah Fant, a guy who can really beat you and is dangerous downfield threat. So definitely a good one to watch out for. I think what this comes down to really is the Falcons just communicating. Like you were talking about with Michael Walker there, like I totally agree with you that he's had his ups and his downs through these first two games. And, you know, to kind of talk about what I was talking about before, he's clearly one of those guys on the defense that's capable of making a play like he did with that interception last week. But I think it really just comes down to, and especially with a young guy like him, getting the communication right in the coverages and making sure that everybody's on the same page. I mean, the touchdown that Cooper Kupp scored in that Rams game where he was lined up in the backfield, it seemed to me like that was Michael Walker's assignment in coverage, and there was some sort of communication error between him and A.J. Terrell, and it turned out to be an easy touchdown for Cooper Kupp. So I think if you can limit those kinds of things, like those are the kinds of things that will beat you, especially going up against a quarterback like Geno Smith. If you can limit those mistakes, those coverage mistakes, then you're unlikely to get gashed, and Geno Smith's not a guy who's going to really beat you downfield with his arm.
Talking all things Falcons Seahawks with Joe Patrick right here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the other side of the glass with Chris Thomas and Bo Morgan. You just mentioned A.J. Terrell, Joe. Any concern with him after a less than stellar first couple weeks of the season? And like we just mentioned, the one thing that they actually do have in Seattle is a couple of deep threat receivers.
Yeah. I'm honestly not concerned. I don't fault anybody who is, because obviously, you know, you can see just there's been some mistakes out there by Terrell. But honestly, he's also going up against some good players, and we just have a very small sample size at this point. Like, if you look at that kind of those characteristics of a data set, it's very likely to have kind of very volatile results because, you know, it's such a long season. I think A.J. Terrell is going to be fine. Certainly, these are things that he can grow from, and a cornerback obviously is a position that probably loses more often than it wins relative to any other position in football. But I think that, you know, obviously he's going to have a tough test here, so it's not going to be like a week where, oh, well, you know, you got a good chance to beat the Seahawks. Your day is going to be easy. No, it's not going to be that at all, and especially for him. He's probably got the toughest task of anybody on this defense, but I have faith that he's going to come through. I have faith that he's got the ability to be one of the really top cornerbacks in this league, and he's going to hopefully show that on Sunday.
So while everyone is just losing their mind because Kyle Pitts has started off September slowly for the second straight year, which is exhausting in many ways, Patrick, let's talk about the guy who hasn't started slow, who's ripping it up in the NFL so far with 13 catches and 160 yards in his first two games. And there's some kind of number out there. If he has so many receptions with a certain amount of yards, he's going to break a rookie record, if I'm not mistaken. I have to double-check that stat. But why is Drake Lunding having such success in only two games as a pro?
Well, man, I mean, first of all, you can just see the physicality and the speed, honestly. It's that combination of the two that makes him so devastating. And it's funny to kind of think about what the talking points were around him after he was drafted. It was all this, like, is he fast enough to win downfield or to beat you downfield? Like, however you were asking or however you were questioning Drake London, whether he could run a fade route or not, he's clearly going to be able to beat you all over the place because of what he presents. Just physically, and obviously the great catcher of the ball. It's one thing you notice when you're out there in training camp where a lot of players just kind of go up and the ball goes into their hands. It almost looks like he's like snatching it out of the air every time. He's got those real strong hands, goes after the ball aggressively, and that allows him in a game in a real-time situation then to be able to come down and not be as worried about controlling the ball and being able to look upfield and try to make a cut. And that's where he's honestly been, I think, really impressing people is with his yards after the catch, the way he's able to keep the ball going downfield and gain those valuable yards. So, yeah, it's great. It's great to see him do this. And it's just kind of, again, kind of funny to see him answer a lot of the critics that were, you know, criticizing the pick. And I think that there are some, you know, fair objections to it. But Falcons couldn't be happier with what they're getting from him. And by the way, and coming off an injury in preseason where he was questionable leading up to the week one and was not on the practice field for about 3 weeks there.
Joe, this is more of a philosophical question, but I want to see if you follow me here. I think this game is equally important for Arthur Smith and his leadership style as it is for the win and loss record. He's come out this season and he has taken no crap and he has not apologized, which I love, by the way. I think that's exactly what this team needs for a reset. But if you're 0-3 and your latest loss is to the Seahawks, it's going to be a little tougher to keep up that mantra when you come back home.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. And, you know, I think that what Arthur Smith is doing with this team and the way that he's leading them, you know, with what he says in the media, to, you know, to be frank, is really smart and the proper way to lead an organization, where you can't treat it like you would if you were, like, trying to game it out on Madden, where you, like, lose and then you, like, put in all your rookies for all the experience points to make them awesome. And then you're like, really, you get a great draft pick and then you're awesome for the next season. No, like, you have to build a winning culture. And that means doing your best, you know, giving the team the best opportunity to win through the personnel that you put on the field every week. And also just, you know, establishing that winning culture is so important for the progress for young players. Like, you don't get a lot better by losing, but you get a lot better by showing that you're more talented and winning on the field. So that's what this all comes down to. There's got to be a meritocracy, and it starts with Arthur Smith kind of setting that tone from the top that, you know, every game is important, despite the fact that, you know, what we likely know will be the fate of this team this season.
Joe, if you had to pick one key that you thought could help the Falcons to victory, no matter how big or small it is on Sunday, what would you go with?
I mean, again, it's kind of broad, but it's just like offensive line play. And it's funny to go back to the Matt Ryan era and think about just like, the games where the offensive line played the best are the games where your team just wins football games. I think that's probably true for, like, almost every NFL team. Like, if you could measure offensive line play in a very neat way, I think you would see that correlation. So that's always going to be important. But I think especially for this Falcons team, you saw in week one against the Saints the way that they were able to just control the game. Like, you could feel it. Like, they were controlling the game. And it was because they had that power run game going where they were churning off, you know, chunk plays in the ground game and feeling like they could get that when they wanted. And that opens up so much more for your offense. So while it also opens up the playbook, it allows you to just keep control. And that's what you want when you're going into a, you know, a hostile place like Lumen Field in Seattle, where you know it's going to be loud and tough to play.
Joe, thank you so much for a couple minutes. For the next 9 minutes and 2 seconds, we are all Middle Tennessee State fans.
Yes. Yes. See you guys.
All right, that is Joe Patrick, our very own 92.9 The Game Falcons reporter. Be sure to follow him on social media and get all the latest updates from the team. Bo, coming up next, there is a Falcons narrative that needs to go away immediately. He and I will break it down when we get back. It is The Other Side of the Glass. Chris Thomas, Bo Morgan, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.